I once heard my great mentor and father in the faith, John Kilgore, say something about preaching that I did not understand at the time, but over the years have come to understand it and feel the same way. He said, if the church where I preach ever had to tell me, we just can't afford to pay you anymore for your services, he said, I would do it for free. The bills are going to have to be paid. We're going to have to find some way, either making tents or otherwise, to pay the bills. But if I have to, he said, I would preach for free. When you do what you love to do for a living, I don't consider it work. It is astounding to me that I could come and be with such good people as the church in Humble and be encouraged and be edified and be strengthened, and then at the end of our time together get a paycheck. But I want you to know, I would do it for free. And I thank you for the way you've welcomed me and the way you've encouraged this young preacher. Wally just tore up my check. And when you live in Houston, even though on the other side of Houston, you might as well be in different states. But I have admired the work of Steve Fontenot from afar. We have not had many opportunities to be together as we had this weekend. But I always thought it appropriate that he found a home and hung his hat in a place that's spelled the same as the word humble. God bless you, brother. Good to be with Brother and Sister Fontenot this weekend. Thank you for the way you've treated my mother, because to the extent you did it to her, you did it to me. And I am reminded of a statement that a brother once made after we had been eating in his home and finishing the meal. He said, that was so good. He said, I wish we were just starting. Well, I've enjoyed our time together this weekend, and I wish we were just starting. Thank you for the good songs tonight that will help with our thoughts about following the Lord fully. I want to begin in Numbers chapter 13 and ask that you open your Bible there. Numbers, the 13th chapter, where we will study another character from the Old Testament. One of the things I enjoy most about studying Bible characters is when there is some phrase that is attributed to them and them only in the Scriptures. For instance, Abraham is the only Bible character who is called the friend of God. Now, that doesn't mean he was the only friend God had. But if God were going to describe the kind of qualities he wanted in his friend, he said, you look at Abraham. David, the only man in Scripture called the man after God's own heart. And so we want to find out, what is it about David that makes him that way? Well, I want to study about a man tonight who six times in three books says that he followed the Lord fully. I want us to see what that means so that we can follow the man who followed the Lord fully. In Numbers chapter 13, we begin reading at verse 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek was living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone and spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." When Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea, he brought them here to the brink of the land of Canaan. And it was the intention for them to just go right in and inherit this land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. First, the Lord said, "I want you to send in 12 spies, one representative from each tribe, and they're to spy out the land for 40 days. And so they did. And they saw how big the cities were and how fortified they were. They saw the people of great size who lived in this land. And they even brought back some produce of the land to show this is a land of milk and honey. The reports that we heard are true. 10 of the 12 men said, "We can never overcome this people." 2 of them said, "God will give us the victory." One was Joshua, and he tends to overshadow the second, and that is Caleb. But it is Caleb who is said followed the Lord fully. 6 times he followed the Lord fully. I want us to consider that tonight so that we can follow his example and follow the Lord fully. I want you to notice 3 things that are said about Caleb that enabled him to follow the Lord fully. What does it take? Number 1, we find that he did so by displaying a different spirit. Caleb, it said, displayed a different spirit. Now, all of a sudden, we see that he and Joshua are outnumbered within the 12 spies. Remember, these are leaders from each tribe. These are men who are respected, and obviously they carried some weight among the people, because when given the choice, they followed the advice of 10 over Joshua and Caleb. But Caleb was not just different among the spies, he was different among all the people of Judah. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse 27, we learned that the men of Judah were 74,600. Now, they were told, "You need to pick one man from your tribe who will represent you and go into the land of Canaan." And so when they got together, they decided, "Our representative is going to be Caleb." Now, think about it. If you were told, "We want you to apply for this job, there are going to be 74,600 applications. We're going to take one." My kids give me reports every day, seemingly, of how many people older than us have better phones than Melissa and I do. Well, I was using my old phone to do some calculating. I wanted to get a percentage of what is one out of 74,600. So I was using my old phone and could barely see the numbers to put them in. And when I hit equal, all it said was out of range. And that says it all, doesn't it? Caleb's odds were out of range. But when they said, we're going to pick one man to represent us, it was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. We want him to go in as the leader of the tribe of Judah. When you look at Numbers chapter 14, just over from where we began at verse 24, here's what the Lord said about Caleb. My servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Caleb displayed a different spirit. He was not afraid to stand up against those who were contrary. You say, well, that's easy to do in our world. We've got all these people who are immoral and ungodly, and so we have to stand up against them. But again, I want to remind you, he was different among other spiritual men. It wasn't the contrast of me against the world. It was me against my brethren. Think about that. Are you ready to display a different spirit in your own household? And stand up, even when you must be by yourself and outnumbered by everyone else, and say, we shouldn't be watching this. We shouldn't be talking about them. That's gossip. Are you ready to stand alone and display a different spirit? Are you ready to do that in the local church? When you may have to stand up against people you respect and say, we don't have Bible authority for this. We can't do this. We can't follow you because you're not following the Lord. Are you ready to display a different spirit? That's the difference between following the Lord fully and following the Lord at a distance. In Matthew 26 and verse 58, when Jesus was arrested, it said all the apostles fled. But do you remember where it said that Peter kind of followed at a distance? There are some people who that's the only way they're going to be comfortable following the Lord. Just let me barely be able to stand far enough back that I can see what's going on, but not close enough that anyone would ever think I'm with him. And if it comes down to having to separate myself, well, I've got enough space there, but I still want to be able, just out of curiosity, to see what's happening. Are you going to follow at a distance? Are you going to follow the Lord fully? It was Caleb who was the spokesman here. They're afraid. They're saying, those people are too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. To which Caleb responded, well, when you add the Lord to our side, they're the ones who appear as grasshoppers. How did he follow the Lord fully? Because he displayed a different spirit. Keep your finger here, but notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17 what Paul said. Sometimes he had to do as an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. At verse 16, my first defense, he said, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. He said, everyone else deserted me, but I was not alone. Because the Lord stood with me, and because the Lord was with me, I was not even afraid of the lion. And he delivered me from the power of the emperor and the devil himself. Caleb displayed a different spirit. You ever been somewhere where you knew right away you didn't fit in, and you didn't belong. My cousin got married a couple of years ago. It was going to be a country wedding, and she asked that all of the bridal party wear boots. Well, I was going to be doing the wedding, and so I thought, well, I need to fit in with everybody else. And could you believe a guy named Bubba didn't have any boots? And so I decided I'm going to go and get me some boots. So I went to Cavender's, and I was looking around, and they had all these colors. And I thought, what in the world? What am I doing here? So somebody came over to help me, and they said, sir, are you buying for yourself? And I thought, well, that's kind of an odd question. I said, yes, I'm going to do a wedding. I want to get some boots to be in the wedding party. They said, well, let's come out of the ladies section and go over here. And I didn't fit in there. There are going to be times where you don't fit in where you are. And that's what a Christian is. When a Christian ceases to be salt and light, we cease to have our purpose. What good is a light but that it shines in a dark world? What good is salt but that it is distinctive? That's why we're here, to display a different spirit. And even when we must stand alone, the Lord stands with us. You want to follow the Lord fully? Then you display a different spirit. And you don't be afraid to do that. The second thing we see about Caleb, of why he would be described as someone who followed the Lord fully, not only did he display a different spirit, but number two, he trusted in God to keep his word. When God made a promise to him, he trusted God to fulfill what he said. The punishment for Israel's unfaithfulness, for not trusting God, that he was going to lead them into the land of Canaan just like he had led them out of Egypt, was that everyone who's 20 years old and upward in the nation is going to die over the next 40 years. You're not going to go into the land. You're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And everyone 20 years old and upward will die, except Numbers chapter 14 and verse 30. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses shall fall in this wilderness. We learn at the beginning of the book that the number of men in Israel 20 years old and upward was 603,500. There was a time a few years ago that was very challenging at the Southside Church. We had in 1 month's time 5 funerals, just one after the other. And you know, even when you have confidence that the person who has gone on has made their calling and election sure, and they've been delivered from a life of pain and suffering and a better place, 5 funerals in 1 month still is very difficult to endure. If we just average out 603,500 men, I'm not going to say that this happened this way, but just to help put this number in perspective, that's going to be 40 funerals a day for 40 years. For all of those people to die, 40 funerals a day for 40 years. Do you know what the temptation would be when you would experience death like that and see people dropping right and left for 40 years? You'd begin to wonder, am I next? Will death come for me today or tomorrow? But do you know who didn't think that? Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. when we fast forward 40 years to Joshua chapter 14 in verse 6, when now they are ready to inherit and inhabit the land that was sworn to them. Joshua chapter 14, begin reading with me at verse 6. The sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.'" Caleb said, "Don't you remember, Joshua, what Moses promised to us through the Lord, that we would inherit this land?" And now some 45 years later, he said, "I am ready to take what God promised me." All of that time had passed, but he still had confidence in what God had said would happen. At the end of the book of Joshua, we find these words in Joshua chapter 21, once the land of Israel had been inherited fully. Joshua 21, verse 43. "So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not one of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave them all into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass." Caleb trusted in God to keep his word. 45 years had passed. How long are you prepared to wait on the Lord? If God has said it, we know he is not a liar. We know that his word is true. Do you follow him fully? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, when he makes a promise to us such as this, "Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you,' so that we may confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" That's his promise. God himself has said that. "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." For times when you begin to think that you're all alone and no one understands and nobody knows what I'm going through, you remember God's promise to you, "I will never leave you or forsake you." When the challenge seems so difficult and the way is unclear, you remember he was him who said, "The Lord is my helper. What can man do to me?" Are you prepared to wait on the Lord and to fully trust in his promise? It's how you follow him fully. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25, when we are tempted to say, "I just can't go another step. I'm just not sure that I can make it. And I don't know that what's at the end of the journey is worth the work." 1 John 2 and verse 25, "This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life." That's his promise. When Morgan was little, she was having a birthday party. And in typical fashion for a young child, she was going through and ripping each present open and unwrapping it. And at the end of each gift, she would look up and say the two words that make every gift giver feel so special. What else? You honestly think there are going to be people when we all get to heaven who look around and say, this it? What else? Surely there's something else. This is the promise which He made to us. Eternal life. God has promised that to you. Are you willing to trust Him at His word? Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. That doesn't say just be faithful when it's easy or be faithful when it's convenient for you, but it means you trust that what God has prepared for us is far better than what we experience here. Following the Lord fully means trusting what He has promised to give us. Caleb waited 45 years. How long will you wait on the Lord? Follow Him and believe. But I want to notice one final thing about Caleb. Why would he be called someone who followed the Lord fully? Well, he did display a different spirit. And he did trust in God to keep His word. But number three, you finish what you start. He followed the Lord fully by finishing what he began. When it came time for Israel to once again divide up into leaders of their tribes, after 45 years, the tribe of Judah got together again and said, we need to appoint one man who's going to represent us. And now as an 85-year-old man, they said, we want Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And this 85-year-old man didn't say, well, I'm ready to fade off into the sunset. I mean, I've carried my load these 45 years. I've done my part. I want to find some place where I can grow my garden and lay in a hammock, and all these other young people can now take up the slack. I want you to notice what Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, said when it was time to go fight and inherit the land. Joshua chapter 14, we'll pick up where we left off at verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as He spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there and with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Whenever me and my friends would play scrimmage football, we would divide into teams. And then we would come to the line of scrimmage. And if you're playing defense, the team captain would say, man up. And what that means is you look across the line and you choose who you're going to cover. Usually somebody that you could keep up with. I usually pick the girl with the broken arm, so I'm going to stand opposite her. Man up. I want you to be impressed when Joshua said, all right, we're going to go inherit the land, man up. That the 85-year-old Caleb said, I got the giants. I got Anakim. We were supposed to drive them out 45 years ago. And the Lord's going to lead us to victory. I want the hill country. He finished what he started. and he followed the Lord fully. That means following it to completion and not stopping until you're finished. And so we come to Joshua 15 and verse 14. We find that Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Heman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. He drove them out because the Lord had said he would give him the victory. It is important for us to get started in our journey, in our battle. But it is just as important that we bring it to completion and not fall out along the way and fall by the wayside. How many people have you known who have served the Lord for a time and then quit before they finished? They didn't make it to the end. They looked around at all the things that were against them and said, "It's too much. I can't do this." How many times have you looked through the old church directories and seen that there are people who are not with us like they were back then? Oh, some of them have gone to their reward, and we thank and rejoice. But there are some who have switched, who are fighting with the enemy. Finish what you started. We are still surrounded by worldliness that must be driven out. And we need every soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul could say these words at the end of his life in what is most likely his final epistle as he is awaiting execution. 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice what he said beginning at verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." As he looked back on his life nearing the end, he said, "I have fought the good fight." I want you to notice that he didn't say, "I never entertained any doubts. But when doubts came, my faith conquered them. And I kept fighting. And I fought the good fight." He said, "I have finished the course." He did not say, "I never fell down once." When he did, he got back up and continued to press on toward the goal. He said, "I have kept the faith." Didn't win every battle, but I'm going to win the war because of the strength God has given me and the victory he has sounded through the blood of his Son. Finish what you started. We are still camping. And we're camping toward our Canaan's land, our promised land that has been sworn to the faithful. But we are not there yet. We have to bring it to completion and follow the Lord fully. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 3, there is a reference to a group of people called the Calebites. We're not certain where they got their name, but there is the possibility that they were descendants of our character we have studied tonight. But can you think of a better compliment than to say, "I followed the man who followed the Lord fully"? Same thing that God recommended about him, I tried to do those things. And in the same way he was faithful to God, I continued to persevere and marched closer and closer to my eternal reward. who will follow Jesus? Who will follow Him fully? Because Jesus said, if any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me and follow him fully. We're going to sing a song that would encourage you to make that decision tonight, to follow him wherever he goes with full confidence that his steps end at the throne of God. If that means you coming and confessing your faith and having your sins washed away in baptism, if it means coming and asking for prayers of the saints, if it means making some public confession, whatever your need, why don't you follow Jesus right now while we stand and while we sing?